Good morning.
Hey, top of the morning there to you, blue lad.
And what shall we discuss this day?
I would like to continue the discussion on love and healing that we started last time.
Very well.
When you said that love is knowing and appreciation, by knowing, you mean the knowing of that which is being appreciated, like seeing oneself or the other person for what they truly are and appreciating that?
Yes.
Have I, and this knowing, this recognition, what is required for that?
Are you meaning what are the expressions of knowing?
I'm meaning to be able to know in that manner. What needs to be there? What is necessary to generate that kind of knowing?
Very well. In relation to knowing, let us use an example of a situation in which you are expressing that in relation to another person.
Mm-hmm.
Very well. In that, it is not to say that you know all of their experiences, or in your terms, everything about them, but that you genuinely see the individual, you know them in relation to their energy, and what you see is not the surface, but that you see their value, you see their deservingness, you see qualities in them that can be appreciated. And that you see beyond behaviors. People are not what they do. And behaviors are also what you do. You do many expressions, but that is not necessarily who you are. Some of the expressions that you do can indicate qualities of what you are, but you are not what you do.
So that knowing...
Yes.
So that knowing requires a openness in energy.
Very much so, yes. And the ability to see beyond the surface, therefore see beyond the facade that the individual projects and to see what genuine energy is and therefore who they genuinely are rather than what they do, which includes those factors of seeing their value in a genuine manner, not hypothetically, not intellectually, but expressing the ability to genuinely see their value and see their deservingness. Not from the standpoint of a concept that everyone is deserving.
I understand. You said last time that in the confusion, in you know, like, I would, like, some people can not even know what to look for in, you know, in talking about the dichotomy between the acquired definition of love from our experiences and what it actually is. Would you say that I've even experienced love in this focus?
I would express that, yes, you have experienced moments of it.
Sometimes the feelings that I get about you, could that be described as love?
Definitely.
Okay. And you said also last time that we substitute, we create substitutes for love and we establish criterias. Those criterias are meant as protective measures to avoid being hurt, don't they?
Yes.
And they are serving that erroneous definition of love that we develop.
Yes. Now, another factor which can illustrate how affecting that distorted definition of love can be. For I am understanding that in most situations, when I express that if you have a distorted definition of love, that it is affecting of you in everything, in all of your interactions, not only your relationships with other individuals or manifestations, but that it can be influencing of any and all of your interactions. That is a difficult idea for individuals to understand, for it is difficult for them to identify how that is possible. But let me offer you another example that may be easier and more understandable to see the affectingness. In many situations with many individuals, a part of their distorted definition of love includes obedience. Now, obedience can be translated in many, many, many forms and in many capacities. Therefore, it can be influencing in job situations. It can be influencing in situations with friendships. It can even be influencing in situations that you may perceive as quite benign, such as entering into a shop or a grocery store, and how you behave in that situation, such as if a clerk expresses an instruction to you that you place your groceries or you place your purchases in a particular position, and you do it.
The distorted idea here is that if you love, you obey.
Yes. And in that, you may not necessarily identify that this is connected, for you may express to yourself, I do not love the store clerk, but it matters not. It is an influence that is permeating your behaviors automatically. And what is that connected to? That if you are obedient, then you are good. And if you are good, then you are lovable.
That makes sense.
Therefore, there are many capacities in which the distorted definitions of this word and of this expression can influence your behaviors on a daily basis in capacities that you would not necessarily even consider, but they do.
That would be a good question to ask ourselves, you know, in different times. Like you said last time, we could pose the question when we engage actions, is this an expression of love or not? Well, we could also say, question ourselves, like, am I doing this just to be lovable, you know, according to those different erroneous definitions?
Correct. And to understand that when you ask that question, am I doing this to be lovable, that includes those ideas of being liked or being perceived as good or being perceived as nice.
Yep.
Or agreeable.
Yep. And we're not being genuine in those times.
What I would express is the motivation may not be genuine.
Right.
Action may be one that you would do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Action may be one that you would engage from a genuine expression. But the point is that you are not objectively choosing that, you are automatically doing it motivated by a different reason.
I understand. I received some tests from the hospital. And it said all the parasite tests came back negative. And
congratulations!
Well, I was a bit surprised. I don't know if those tests are accurate, because apparently amoebas have a tendency to, you know, they can kind of escape those tests.
And why are you automatically questioning what you have presented to yourself as a validation? Now, stop momentarily and evaluate that and recognize how automatic it is to not trust yourself.
I think this particular reaction is linked to this idea that, you know, it's am I more powerful than that expression of the parasites? And it also ties into my very low esteem about the medical establishment. But yeah, we do tend to think that things will worsen, and, you know.
And when you give yourself a validation.
Even, yeah.
Even when you offer to yourself a confirmation of your success or your accomplishment, dependent upon what it is, you continue to express that doubt.
I'm careful with my hopes and desires, Elias.
And that is a very significant point, for I would express that you are not alone in that expression. It is very common for the reason that individuals express that is that they are afraid of being disappointed.
Yes.
And in that, it is that, once again, reinforcing not trusting yourself and holding that idea that somehow you will betray yourself.
Yeah.
And that, this is a significant expression, for it is the indicator that you are continuing to look at your experiences from the perspective of either good or bad, and not yet viewing the bigger picture of there are many time frameworks in which you may be generating expressions in your direction that are beneficial to you, but may be initially uncomfortable, and that you merely are not necessarily seeing how that expression is beneficial. I have expressed this many, many, many times with many, many, many individuals, in which they present what they identify or they see as bad or uncomfortable or disappointing expressions, when in actuality, That is their automatic evaluation. They are looking for the bad or the negative. And in actuality, what they may be doing may be a genuine opportunity. Or it may be very much in alignment with what the individual actually desires. This is expressed frequently in situations of relationships or job situations. These are the most obvious, in which an individual is fired from a job. And their automatic assessment and perception of that action is that it is bad. And why would they do that? But in actuality, it may very well be that the individual is moving in a direction of some action that is much more agreeable to them, and that they were very uncomfortable in that situation or with a relationship.
Well, I can see that. I can see that this whole situation dealing with these symptoms has been facilitating movement within myself in regards to the underlying issues. So I can understand also what you're saying now.
But also, there is that factor in your mundane terms of being gun-shy. You have listened to the report of the gun firing enough times, and it has been irritating to your ears enough times that whenever you present the subject to yourself, you are anticipating that report from the gun firing. When in actuality, the trigger is not being pulled. Therefore, you become accustomed to certain experiences. And once you have become familiar with them, you automatically expect them. And therefore, even when you present differently to yourself, in conjunction with your intention and your movement, and you have been attempting to express differently, and you have been applying information, and you are successful, and you offer yourself the validation of that success, you automatically move in the direction of that familiar experience of being disappointed, and therefore, in order to prevent yourself from being disappointed, you become suspicious and you do not accept the accomplishment. You are afraid of the report of the gun.
Is that also what you call shrines? We build shrines around those kinds of experiences?
You can. And some individuals do, that would be a situation in which you do that repeatedly such an extent that it is overwhelming.
Okay.
Shrines are expressions that incorporate a considerable length of time to develop.
Okay. When I felt you strongly a few weeks ago while I was looking for that set quote online, the one about how we are conditioned to expect that things will worsen, That was you expressing encouragement in relation to that information, right?
Yes.
Because it really is very affecting of this whole symptom situation.
I would agree.
And it's also a strong mass concentration, you know, on that deterioration in relation to accepted medical beliefs.
Correct.
Yeah. What would be a particularly effective way and safe way for me to release energy that might be stored in my physical body, such as those emotions from my youth that we discussed last time? I touched upon some deep emotions in therapeutic settings like the EFT and the regression, which I would say did lead to some release, but I'm not convinced that this digging into the past is the most effective way for me to release that energy.
And I would, to an extent, agree. I would express to you that there is value to an extent of allowing yourself past recall of experiences to an extent. But I would also express that it is not necessarily efficient to move in a direction of consuming oneself with attempting to continuously be, in your terms, digging into the past and your experience pastly, for it is not necessary. I would express that, once again, it is very much a matter of being present, and the more present you are, the more you notice. The more you notice your own responses and reactions in different situations, the more you pay attention to what you are doing, the more you begin paying attention to what you are feeling. And in that, it is not only a matter of paying attention to what you are doing, thinking, and feeling, but do they match? Does your doing, thinking, and feeling match each other and therefore create a harmony? Or is your doing, thinking, and feeling not matching and therefore creating disharmony or conflict? And the more present you are, the more you become aware of those factors. And in that, not always necessary for you to be recalling and identifying past experiences. But if you incorporate an awareness of some of your associations, that leads you in a direction of paying more attention in certain capacities. It is not necessary for you to be analyzing everything you do or everything you have done. But in that, when you are more present and you really are paying attention, you automatically begin to offer yourself answers. When you notice that your thinking, feeling, and doing are not harmonious, that they are not all expressing in the same direction, then you are prompted to question yourself. And what is the difference? Now, for a thought-focused individual, what I would express to you is that if your thinking, doing, and feeling are not in harmony with each other, if they are different from each other, what I would suggest to a thought-focused individual would be to pay attention to what you are feeling.
Right.
And what does that mean to you? What is the feeling that you are experiencing, and what does that feeling mean to you? In relation to a thought-focused individual, you are so accustomed to thinking and doing that your indicator of some discord is with your feeling.
Interesting. Yeah.
But I would express to an emotionally focused individual, for they are so accustomed to paying attention to the signals, therefore they are so accustomed to paying attention to the feelings, what I would express to that individual would be to pay attention to what they are doing. That there is a difference between what they are feeling and what they are doing. And that what is not necessarily the most accurate for them would be their feeling. What may not be the most accurate for a thought-focused individual in a situation in which all three of those aspects are not the same, would be their thinking.
Thank you.
Therefore, that is one avenue in which you can be aware and therefore also recognize how you can be releasing energy. Now, if you do not recognize how you can release energy, let me offer you an example. Let us say that you notice your thinking, doing, and feeling are not all the same. You notice that your feeling is different. And in that, let us say that you identify what you are feeling. You define it. And you recognize it. But let us say that doing that, you are continuing to question and express to yourself, well, now what do I do? In that, once again, you look at the feeling and you define it and you evaluate what is an effective action, not thought, what is an effective action for me to engage that will allow me to release that energy. If the feeling is restless, an effective action would move.
To move, you said.
Yes, it would be to engage your body in physical movement.
Yep.
Engage a walk, dance, jump, move your body.
Mm-hmm.
If it is a feeling of sadness, an effective action is to cry. And if you cannot prompt yourself to cry in the moment, engage in action that will prompt you to cry. Read a sentimental book.
Those don't make me cry. They make me cringe.
Watch an inspirational program on your television. Crying is not always prompted by sadness.
Yeah.
But if the feeling is sadness, an excellent outlet of energy would be to cry. There are many different expressions that can prompt you to cry.
I understand. Yeah.
Is a feeling of anxiety, engage an action that releases that anxiety. Perhaps write in a journal. Releasing energy is an expression of an action. To release energy, it is...
It's a form of expression.
Yes, and it is a requirement to generate some action. You do not release energy merely by feeling about it or thinking about it. You release energy by doing. Therefore, when you notice that the feeling is different from the thinking and doing, as a thought-focused individual, pay attention to the feeling, define it, and if your intention is to release energy, engage an action that is associated with that particular feeling to release the energy.
Thank you. I will experiment with that.
Very well.
On different occasions in the last couple of weeks and months, I've been feeling energy below my body while lying down, particularly in the back, but also arms and legs. It feels like waves lifting me up slightly, a little bit like floating. And I've interpreted that as a supportive interaction with essence.
I would very much agree.
Does that involve more than one essence?
Yes.
It kind of feels like there's a group doing that.
Yes.
Is that my little pantheon of Elias and Samta and Tomkin and Leva? And...
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Thank you. It's very enjoyable.
You are very welcome.
I'd like to talk about crystals.
Very well.
The lapis stone. It doesn't need cleansing of any kind at any point?
No. No.
Did I read that correctly, that that stone also can be associated to you?
Yes.
So it could be used to facilitate connection with your energy?
Yes.
You said that the ancient Egyptians used it for connection. In what capacity? And how does that fit with its property of being enhancing energy in a calm manner that you said?
Well, if you allow yourself to evaluate, it will be understandable. In this, in connecting with different energies, it could be with an expression of another individual, it could be with an intention of another individual, it could be with other energies. Now understand that the culture is definitely to be taken into consideration.
Right.
In relation to motivation and what they did. Therefore, an individual such as a priest or a priestess, or even a counselor, may use that stone to be connecting with another individual's energy to tap into the expression of or the intention of another individual in relation to what they are doing. In a manner of speaking, it was frequently used to spy upon other individuals to determine what they were engaging and what their motivation was. And therefore, also to generate protective measures in relation to whatever the suspicion was. Now, in that, how that is facilitated is that, first of all, the user must be in a calm, open state.
Right.
In that, it is also used to facilitate amplifying the other individual's energy to present it more clearly. The more amplified the energy is, or the expression is, the easier or the more clearly you can see it.
Right, so the stone has that ability to amplify energy and also to connect to other expressions of energy.
Yes, for it allows the user to express a calm and open state and then to be projecting and connecting with other energies. And let me express that they also use this in relation to their interactions with what they identified as the gods.
Which were other dimensional beings?
At times, and at times were other essences. in this that allowed them to access information that was not necessarily physical information.
Yeah. And is it a matter of programming that stone? Can it be programmed?
Define your meaning in that.
Well, you know, sometimes you hear that about crystals, not lapis particularly necessarily, but people will say, oh, you know, just program your crystal with your intention or something like that.
What I would express is that is a statement that is influenced by the individual's belief in relation to the stones, but you are essentially doing that when you are expressing an intention.
Right.
But it is not that the stone holds that.
The intention directs the energy, but it's not necessarily right. The stone doesn't keep that directive necessarily.
Correct. It does not maintain it.
Right.
It responds to it in the moment, and therefore, in a manner of speaking, yes, that is correct, for you are in actuality doing that in the moment, but the stone does not maintain that intention.
And just formulating an intention within our thoughts, that would be enough?
Yeah.
The rose quartz, you suggested to put it out in daylight to cleanse it. Would putting it in salt water have the same effect?
No. No. Definitely not.
People sometimes say that, you know, you should clean your crystals with salt water. Is that appropriate for some crystals, but not the rose quartz?
What I would express to you is that you can do that with other stones, and in actuality, it does not necessarily affect them. It will not damage them. It will not alter them. But it does not necessarily affect them either.
You said that rose quartz is the only stone that requires that emptying into the daylight. Do any other, you know, common crystals or stones require as different kinds of cleansing other than putting them out in daylight?
I would express that it is not necessary to place any other stone in the daylight, that it is not necessary to empty any other stone in sunlight or in any other capacity. They naturally do that themselves, for they naturally do not hold energy.
Okay.
They only express that facilitation of moving energy or enhancing it in some capacity, but they do not absorb it.
What happens to the absorbed energy of the rose quartz? Can it be harmful once it has absorbed the energy if one would still continue to use it?
No, definitely not. No. What occurs is it naturally dissipates and therefore is automatically reconfigured.
So just to keep the stone in, you know, the potency, like you said, and to keep it effective, it's a good idea to empty it regularly, but it wouldn't be harmful if we didn't.
Yes. in relation to its efficiency and its effectiveness, yes, you would want to empty it regularly, therefore once a day, you would want to do that action. But if you did not do it, or if you forgot to do it, it would not be harmful to you at all in any capacity. What would occur is that it would merely not be as effective.
Okay.
Or if the stone was maintaining a full capacity of energy for that one stone, it would not be effective at all.
Go ahead.
You would notice a definite difference. You would notice that when you used it and engaged it, that it would be much less effective, and or that it would not be effective at all. And then if you placed it in the sun for 5 minutes and used it again, you would notice a considerable difference.
I've really been able to perceive at times the energy movements when using the rose quartz and the lapis. It was really exciting. I don't always perceive it so clearly, but a few times I did. Can it be measured, the hands-on healing that I've been doing with my digestive system in combination with the crystals? Would you be able to say, what is the percentage that they have contributed in the healing? Because it really has improved a lot since we talked last time.
Can it be measured? Yes. I would express that it can be measured physically also. That if you were to incorporate a divining wand, you could measure it by the extent in which your energy field is projecting from your body and the difference in distance. But in relation to a percentage, yes, I can offer that also.
In relation to all the things that I've been doing, what is the contribution of that action of the hands-on and the crystals?
I would express that it has been 100% successful, and I would express that in a percentage of difference that you have generated. I would express that you have generated approximately 79% or 80% difference.
Wow. I've really taken to these crystals. Is there any other crystal that you would suggest that I start using and explore at this time, in addition to rose quartz and lapis? Not necessarily only for the digestive system, but just anything.
I would express that malachite is another stone that you could incorporate, which does generate a stimulation of imagination. It is a stimulating stone.
Does my imagination need stimulation?
I would express that anyone's imagination can always incorporate more stimulation.
Wow. Never enough imagination.
Precisely.
All
right. I would also express that an agate stone.
Which kind?
I would suggest red. And that, or you could incorporate a lighter brown or sienna colored stone, but a red would be more effective. And that can be effective in relation to communication being more effective.
You mean encouraging expression?
Yes. Yes. I would also express that moonstones and opals are excellent for dreams.
Interesting. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Time to go to the stone shop. You know sage burning? Burning sage? Does that have properties like crystals, or is that assigned by our beliefs?
That is assigned by your beliefs.
Okay. We like those beliefs.
Yes, you do. And I would express that sage has been incorporated as an aspect of rituals for many, many, many millennia. And it is or can be used as a focal point, but in itself, it does not necessarily generate any particular properties.
Is it the same for salt lamps? They don't incorporate properties in of themselves?
That would be somewhat different. For that is a configuration that does directly interact with individual energies. And it will interact with individual energies differently.
Is it beneficial for me?
It could be, yes.
Okay. as usual, we didn't get to half of my questions.
Then I would invite you to engage conversation again.
Well, I most certainly will, and thank you for this interaction.
You are very welcome, my dear friend. I express tremendous encouragement to you in your success and in your directions and adventures and explorations. And I would definitely express a supportiveness to you in your adventures with your new stones.
Thank you. I will be, well, I'll be going to the shop today.
Until our next meeting, my dear friend, in tremendous lovingness, as always, and in great affection. Au revoir.
Au revoir.